Good morning, church. I'm Minister Clifford Young, and I'm going to be bringing this sermon this morning. And the sermon entitled Overcoming a Deceiving Spirit. Overcoming a Deceiving Spirit. And scripture is coming from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and reads thus: Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, permission to these stones become bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the devil took him up into the holy city, sitting on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, If you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again, the devil took him up on an exceeding mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world for the new glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the living God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Overcoming a deceiving spirit. And I want to talk about the keys of overcoming a deceiving spirit. The first key would be knowledge. The second key would be understanding. And the third key is wisdom. So when you look at knowledge as the key, you have to understand what it means to be deceived. Because we talk about this overcoming a deceiving spirit. We have to know and understand that deceiving means to persuade someone to believe in something that is not true. Typically, in order to gain some personal advantage. You know, we all are challenged with being deceived on a daily basis. I know you're probably getting those robot calls and other things. People are always scamming to get your money. So if you're going to be able to stand against this, you got to know that you got to be able to understand that when you look at deceiving, being deceived, they're trying to get you to reject the truth. And I've been talking about in these last 4 years, we've had the President of the United States come on and tell us the truth is not the truth. He calls it fake news now. He's telling others who believe him to reject the truth because that's fake news. And you know one of the things I used to say when I was growing up, if you tell a lie long enough, people almost start to believe it. And then you hear people who heard that being said, looking at me, that's the first thing they say whenever truth is told to them. That's a lie. That's fake news. Example of that is that the COVID-19 pandemic that's happening. You know, the president Trump came out and said that there was no pandemic. And there was no pandemic. It was fake. The pandemic was a fake. And now, you've had so many people hear that, and now he's reinforced by going on the internet and keep ripping that. Well, it's a lie. It's the false. That's fake news. That thing actually comes with a hoax now. It's a hoax. And because it is a hoax, people now say it was a hoax. Not only that it was a hoax, but if it is real, it was created by man. It was something, a disease that was created by man going out there and kill folks. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know too many places had the spirit that would go out and want to create something to kill people. There have been those kind of things, but they really are pushing that lie that it was created by man to kill folks. Interesting. When you look at what you're saying, COVID-19 is not real. Because COVID-19 is not real, they now have decided that they don't have to do what they've been told to do. And that is to wear protection. How many of y'all see when you go into the stores and you see people that don't wear masks? We don't have that too much here in California, but you don't know, you see that all the time. People, even our president, when he was having those rallies, even when he still does have his rallies and meetings, he doesn't wear the mask. He said it's a hoax. And even is a hoax, I don't wear the mask because it's an infringement on my right. So he says, I'm going to disregard that. Even though the CDC and NHSI and their coronavirus task force all said, we need to wear a mask and practice social distancing. President Trump said, you don't have to do it. And because he said you didn't have to do it, a lot of people have decided, yes, I'm not going to wear the mask. Just because I don't feel like wearing it. And not only that, the people who, a lot of religious people, and people who always stick up for the Constitution and their right to bear arms, the right to do whatever they want to, because the Constitution gives them the right to do what they feel like doing, says, I'm not going to wear my mask. My religious beliefs and my constitutional rights give me the right to say, I do not wear those things. And I can behave in a very selfish and without regard to others because I'm exercising my constitutional right and my religious right. And when I look at the religious rights that people keep pointing to, the religious rights, there's nowhere in the religious right to say that you have a right to disobey the government. In fact, most of the Bible tells us we're supposed to obey those in authority. But yet, when it comes to certain practices and certain things, they said, I'm going to not obey the law of the land because that law infringes on my religious freedom. And as a result of that, they say they never have the right because they don't want to wear a mask and stuff. They now have the right to not only it's a religion wearing a mask and their rules and regulations infringed upon their social life too. That's another reason they say they don't want to be in agreement with the laws about the coronavirus. Even though this coronavirus is killing others and causing injury and suffering to others, they say their rights are more important than loving and protecting others. Well, we see that there's a knowledge about the coronavirus, that it is real, even though there's the knowledge that says that's been created by our president, it's a hoax, that's not real. And because they say it's not real and so forth, they say, well, we can act contrary to the CDC and the NHS and other health authorities. We can act contrary to the government mandates on the state level, which says, and even local level, which says, you must social distance, you must wear a mask, you must follow these guidelines when you're out among the public and when you're going into stores and schools and so forth. What does this tell us? If people are doing this, even though they understand they should be doing it, it says that there's not the problem with it. There's not the knowledge. There's not the problem. There's not the understanding. The problem is the wisdom that needed to deal with this situation today. You know, I look out there and I understand that people don't want to do it because it seems very difficult. We've gotten to the point where people now have been taught that they don't have to follow rules and regulations. Parents are no longer teach their kids to follow the rules and regulations. And so we need wisdom. And the way we're going to get wisdom about this situation is we need to ask God. And God will give us the right kind of wisdom. For when we're in situations like the ones we're experiencing now, seeking God is the best way to come through it. And in fact, that's when we're going to go back and look on scriptures this morning and see how wisdom we can get from the Word of God. You know, in our scripture in Mark and Matthew 4, it says Jesus was led into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights to be, so that he could be tempted by the devil, by Satan. And when he comes out of that wilderness, that fasting, it says he's hungry. And because he's hungry, the devil is taxing with the first thing. If you are the Son of God, now he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be turned into bread, because you're hungry, you take care of that need. if you are the Son of God. And Satan's putting a deception out. Jesus don't need to prove to him. Jesus knows he's the Son of God. But Satan trying to put a little deception in there, trick him into trying to say, well, you need to expose, you need to prove yourself as the Son of God by turning the stones into bread. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So he understood the deception of Satan, but answered with the wisdom, which is that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. He said the real need is to focus on the Word of God. Well, Satan doesn't give up. He takes Jesus into the temple, takes him up to the very pinnacle of the temple, and tells Jesus to throw himself off. For he said, this is written, they'll catch you when you fall. God's angels will catch you and see that no harm comes to you. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's foolishness. Jesus understands the implications of him throwing his body off that temple. That when he lands, gravity is going to do what gravity does. He's going to get hurt. He's the Jesus, the Son of God, but he's in flesh, and that flesh is going to do what flesh does, which is going to get bruised. That's when he went to cross, it was real. He had a fleshy body that suffered and died, and was not time for him to die or to be bruised. So he said, no, man, no, I'm not throwing myself because I'm not tempting God. I'm telling you that's tempting God, and that's not what I came to do. And the last temptation was he said, I'm going to make this quick and easy. You don't have to do nothing else. You came to claim the kingdoms of war. You came to save all these folks. You want all this of this world? He says, all this I'll give to you if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus says, away with you, Satan, for his worship. For it is written, you should have worshiped the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So Jesus answered correctly on all three temptations. All three. All three of those ways Satan came in to deceive him. Now I want to bring it to today's term when I look at the COVID situation, especially with those who are so-called Christians are saying, I don't have to pay attention to the rules of separating myself and social isolation and doing it. I can walk into COVID without a mask and think I'm not going to get the disease. That's as foolish as Jesus saying, I'm going to throw the devil tempting Jesus, want to throw himself off the cliff. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. There are so many people today, Christians included, that are going into a contagious environment, not wearing masks, not social isolating, and thinking they're not supposed to come up with that disease. So many here, so many, after they've contacted, I thought it was hope. But now I'm in the hospital, I'm dying. It's because I did not believe that was true. I was tempting God. Especially when church groups get together and they say, we don't care what the government says, we're gonna meet it anyway. But I just like to remind church folks, believers, that even in the Old Testament, when the people had leprosy or had some kind of breaking out of the skin or whatever, they had to be isolated. They had to be put in a restricted area until that illness they had was cured. And then even after they seemed to be cured, they had to go away another 7 days or so to see if they were really cured. And same thing when Jesus came along. There were people who were still leprosy. There were people who had that woman who had an issue of blood. She had to be separated from the people. And when she came among the people, she had to let them know that she was unclean. This is real. The deception from Satan has now come to the point where we don't believe in the reality of this COVID-19. And as a result, we're acting stupid. We're not doing what the Bible, even the Bible says, when you got an illness or something that is contagious, you separate yourself. And yet today, the deceiver has come and got so many people deceived that they now say they're not going to wear masks. They're going to continue to gather in big family gatherings. They're going to be gathered in the churches and all these places. And yet, so many of them saying they're praying. And they have faith they're not going to come down with the COVID. I'm here to tell you that that's a contradiction in the Word of God. Jesus said he's not going to throw himself down from that temple because he knew what's going to be the result. He's going to get hurt or he's going to die. For anyone to say they're going to normally without protection, go in there in a room full of people with COVID and everything, and they're going to not come out without some kind of perhaps getting the COVID virus or become a carrier, become asymptomatic and go and help spread that disease. I'm saying you don't love your fellow man. You don't love God with all your heart, mind, and body, because God says you are responsible for loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And so if you love God and you love yourself that you will not do harm to yourself, then that means you will not want to do harm to your neighbor. See, I'm talking about how to overcome the deceiver. Because right now, the deceiver has us all messed up in this country. We're focusing on the wrong thing. We're focusing on the material things. We're focusing on our house. What about focusing on the real thing, which is love? What about focusing on the making sure people are saved, making sure that people have warm clothes? What about all these things that God really wants us to do? That the chief has now said we're fighting a battle of morality in the church. I'm sorry, the deceiver has gotten us off to fight the wrong battle. And now with this COVID, he just pumped it up a notch to make us want to fight over whether or not we should be socializing, whether or not we should be wearing masks. Not whether or not I should be showing love to my fellow men, or whether or not I have the right not to show love to my fellow man. I'm pretty sure right now God is not happy But I know Satan is very happy because he's got this deception going on. Oh, in conclusion, I want to challenge you right now to go out there and get knowledge about this disease. Don't hide from it. See, one of the things that I found out about people is they want to hide from the truth. They want to hide from knowledge. The news is putting all this stuff on the news. I don't hide from it. When they tell me that this COVID has shut down businesses, 90,000 people for the airline employees is getting ready to get laid off, I need to understand that. 90,000 just from the airline. Their job is gone. What they going to do? And then it comes back to, what is it that I and we at the church can do? Then I look at the numbers telling about the people who cannot afford food and how bad the food crisis is and how many more people are needing food. And this on and on. These problems are real. I can't run from them. And then understanding that the COVID situation is only making it worse. Because people will not comply with what they need to do. This is a compounding situation. So I, these people say, well, I'm praying about it. I'm having faith. Well, guess what? I love the fact you say you got faith, but where's your works with your faith? What is it that God's going to challenge you to do to help this situation? See, I don't believe that we can say we're Christians and just be on the sidelines. God called us to be, because he said, "Let the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." I think right now, this is the greatest time that we can get involved. We no longer need to be deceived by Satan and say, well, this ain't going to be real. It was real. These 4 years we served under Donald Trump was as real can get. And guess what? The deceiver had us deceived enough that we let him in there. See, he told us up front what kind of person he was. And we knew it. And yet we still allowed him to get there in office because we were not willing to get out and vote. Guess what? I'm here to tell you, you got to know your deceiver. You got to know the deceiver's still out there. And he's coming back. He ain't gone. I'm going to tell y'all, you're going to let the whole game play again. So, in conclusion, I'm asking you to please be aware of the deceiver and to please help me be an overcomer of the deceiver. God bless you.